This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, where I believe it was Churchill who said that Russia is a riddle wrapped in a mystery, wrapped in an enigma. That basically you can't figure out what those Ruskies are thinking, particularly one named Vladimir Putin. He has now said that he's going to take his time on Ukraine to study the U.S. and NATO responses. What does that mean? In other words, what it means is he's ignoring the nation known as Ukraine. And it's a nation with an increasingly formidable military, at least according to most sources. And it's a nation with a long and not so happy history with their Russian neighbors. Somebody who knows all about this, adding on to our conversations yesterday with four-star General Barry McCaffrey, who has been deeply involved with Pentagon planning and dealing with the whole situation in Eastern Europe. Shane Harris is the reporter for the Washington Post, who actually broke the news about Russia moving troops to the Ukraine border. He spent a good deal of time in Ukraine and in Russia, and it's a pleasure speaking to him. He's the author of two books, The Watchers, Rise of America's Surveillance State, which came out in 2010, and War, The Rise of the Military-Industrial Complex, which is also one of his books, which came out in 2014. Mr. Harris, very glad to speak to you. When were you last in Ukraine?
Well, I should clarify, I've not gone to Ukraine. We have reporters in Ukraine, but I'm helping our coverage here. But I've been reporting on Russia and Ukraine now for several years.
Okay. What is your sense of the morale, the expectation? Do they expect that they will be invaded and taken over somehow by Putin?
Well, this is actually a very important question, and there are differing opinions on this. If you listen to President Zelensky of Ukraine and some of his closest advisors, including his defense minister, they're publicly saying, everyone be calm here. We don't expect an imminent invasion. We're not sure that Putin has even amassed the forces on the border that he would need to do the kind of invasion that the U.S. and the British have been warning about. That is not a view shared entirely within Ukraine's own intelligence establishment, I hasten to add. They are much more on the same page as the Americans and the British, who say, no, he has 100,000 troops on your border. He could go basically at a moment's notice. And whether Putin could actually take over and control Ukraine, I think most analysts would say probably not. There's a real significant question among U.S. intelligence officials I talked to with whether Putin actually believes he could do that, and perhaps is being misguided by his own circle of advisors. So within Ukraine, I think the leadership is preaching calm, but the people who are in the security establishments are saying, we're getting very nervous about what we see happening on our borders here.
There's a piece in the Wall Street Journal, sorry to mention the competition here.
I used to work there, it's okay.
Okay. There's a piece by Julian K. Melchior, and which says, by stoking unrest and chaos, Russia could set the stage for a puppet regime without the costs of war. And this under the heading, Putin's threat to Ukraine isn't limited to invasion. Do you think that's possibly what all of this kabuki theater is about, is installing another friend or ally or puppet to Kyiv?
I think that's a possibility. And to that point, last weekend, you saw the British Foreign Secretary come out with a really alarming and interesting statement in which they said the British government was in possession of intelligence that indicated that Putin wanted to do exactly that, that he wanted to install a former member of the Ukrainian parliament as essentially a puppet leader in Ukraine. It identified him as well as four other Ukrainians who they said were essentially, you know, trying to be set up as this government in Russia. Now, importantly, none of these people have any popular support of any note in Russia and Ukraine. So they would, you know, and most of them are living in Russia actually right now, and some of them are sanctioned by the U.S. So the question would become, you know, how would Putin plan to install them? And sources I talked to in the U.S., the U.K., and Ukrainian sources as well all agreed that the plan here is essentially to try and get the government in Kyiv to capitulate or to destabilize it and topple it. And then essentially, you know, perhaps Putin puts these people in and says, if you accept them as, you know, your new leaders, I'll stop bombing you. The British came out with that information over the weekend, I think clearly as a way to try and forestall Putin from doing that. But yes, there very well may be an effort here to install some kind of regime which could potentially save Putin the trouble of having to mount a full-scale invasion. That's clearly an option that, you know, Western intelligence and security officials have looked at and thought was credible enough that I think they wanted to expose that plot before Putin had a chance to carry it out.
Do you suspect that it says that the Kremlin, that Putin is taking his time to study the U.S. and NATO responses. Do you think he's encouraged by positions within the Republican Party, where the Republican Party, which has generally been a party of strong national defense, there are very loud voices, particularly in conservative media, saying, what do we care about Ukraine for? We shouldn't risk anything for them, and other people saying we should actually be on Putin's side. Is he aware of those kinds of divisions, and can he do something more to exploit them?
I think he's almost certainly aware of, you know, U.S. political sentiment. I mean, they demonstrated in 2016 the Russians did, they understand our politics quite well, including at the grassroots level. So, you know, is it helpful to him to have a divided, you know, U.S. population or divided lawmakers? Sure, in the sense that it kind of complicates matters for President Biden. And let's remember, too, you know, President Biden, you know, came into office, pulled U.S. forces out of Ukraine, Afghanistan. The theory there being, you know, we're pulling the United States out of wars. We don't want to get enmeshed in new ones. And he's not talking about putting troops on the ground, but, you know, sometimes these things have a way of metastasizing. So, yes, I think that there's an element of that. And also, you don't necessarily see unanimity on the opinion of when Putin is likely to invade among our European allies. The French and the Germans are a little bit more cautious in this. They don't seem to be quite as alarmed as the British and the Americans. You know, sources that I've been talking to and my colleagues as well say, look, that kind of ambiguity in the vision helps Putin.
Do you accept the conventional wisdom, which is that if there was any sort of war, that Putin would not attempt to take over the whole country at once? He would be going for the Donbass region and toward eastern Ukraine, and then sort of stop and try to make a deal? Or do you think it would be more like a total war for the extinction of Ukrainian independence?
I don't think we know. I think if you look at the numbers of troops that he's put on the border, it doesn't seem like it's logistically feasible that he has enough to try and take the whole country. Ukraine's a very big country. At the same time, he has short-range missiles that he could fire off. He has an air force. Ukraine does not really have formidable air defense systems, perhaps to ward off an air campaign. This really gets down to an essential question you're asking here that is on the minds of people right now in Washington, in London, and around the world, is what is in Vladimir Putin's head? Does he really think he can take this whole country? Most analysts would say no. If he does, then he seems to be pretty severely misguided, and then you're dealing with a potentially an irrational actor. Putin is not irrational. I would have to think that he recognizes how very challenging it would be to take that entire country, and the Ukrainian military and even its people will fight him if he tries.
It is all important, and we are grateful for your perspective and a balanced perspective. And one of the obviously most frightening challenges we face, that kind of war at the heart of Europe, even if it stops short of total domination of Ukraine. Big threat to NATO and to the alliance. Why? Well, we'll talk about it on the Michael Medved Show.
Medved.
Washington Policy Center, WPC, is Washington State's champion for free market reforms and is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. It's led the effort against state and local income taxes. Its research and policy analysis are relied on by lawmakers, media, and citizen activists for accuracy, fresh perspective, and to expose the political manipulation of data. Our state needs WPC more than ever, and we need you to be part of it. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. Is our country's distinctive power and prosperity the product of some happy accidents or criminal activity, or is it God's hand on America? That's the title, actually, of my most recent book. You can get a hardcover copy, personally signed by me, together with a full audiobook, and it comes to you together with an MP3 player so you can hear it anytime you want. It's all at a reduced price while supplies last. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for God's Hand on America, look for that audiobook and hardcover book bundle.
Introducing the all-new My Slippers from MyPillow. 2 years in development. Designed to wear indoor, outdoor, all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. And made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, you can get 50% off the new My Slippers. They're super comfortable, and you'll like them so much you'll want to get pairs of them for the entire family. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener's square and use promo code MEDVED. That's promo code MEDVED, M-E-D-V-E-D. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, like the Giza Dream bed sheets, the mattress topper, and towel sets. Call right now 1-800-320-6280. That's 1-800-320-6280 and use promo code MEDVED. Or go to the web at MyPillow.com. The all-new My Slippers from MyPillow.
1 in 3 adults has prediabetes. 1 in 3. That means it could be you, your football buddy. Your football buddy. Or you, your best man. Your worst man. You, your dog walker. Your cat jogger. While 1 in 3 adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a 4-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
On the Michael Medved show, look, it's a complicated country, as Justice Breyer was saying in his farewell, with every kind of opinion, every kind of ethnicity, every kind of religious faith. And look, we can't even agree on on medical issues, where everyone in America has his or her own expertise. And I'm sure that everyone will be very, very reassured by something that the White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said today in her press briefing concerning the new vacancy that is going to actually kick in. Justice Breyer said that he will only leave the court after a replacement is confirmed. And he does hope to leave the court, so he hopes that that replacement will be confirmed by the end of the court term in June. And again, that means after the court has announced some of the most important and controversial decisions, including the ethical decision regarding abortion that everyone is expecting to come out before the end of June, probably right at the end of June. Here is Jen Psaki this morning talking about somebody who has been just so effective and such a stalwart for the administration on so many issues, playing a role in the selection of a new justice for the Supreme Court. Listen.
The Vice President will play a central role in this process, and the President intends to consult with her very closely. Obviously, she has a long history as a former Attorney General, as a member of the Judiciary Committee, and he respects her opinion greatly. In addition to the Vice President, Ron Klain will, of course, play a role. Dana Remus, Cedric Richmond, Paige Hurwicke, who's a member of our counsel's office, and Louisa Terrell.
Okay, well, all that is just enormously reassuring, right? Look, they won the election. Yes, and they did win the election. And one of the things that the extent to which this is a political issue, one of the good things, and there are several good things about this current situation and with Biden getting ready to make his appointment, is it will push the Democrats even further away from that whole idea of court packing, because the desire that progressives have to get some new blood in the court and to enliven the court with somebody who is more of an outspoken progressive, well, that is sated at the moment. They're preoccupied with this. And assuming that he appoints one of the 3, 4, 5 most prominent names that have already been raised, it really should stop the mania about court packing, because Breyer did what a number of people on the left had been urging him to do, which is to resign in time for Biden to get a pick for the court that had a chance to be confirmed by a Democratic Senate with a real chance that the Republicans could take over the U.S. Senate coming up in the election that's this November. The whole idea, there's a piece in the Wall Street Journal, and of course it's profoundly right, that says that no college could get away with doing what President Biden has done, which is to say that I'm going to limit my applicants to people who are black and female. Can you imagine if there was a college in the United States that said, well, in the interest of more balance, we're going to limit our applications to one race, we're going to limit our applications to one gender, and I know there are multiple genders. And one of the things I haven't heard yet is, well, you know, we've never had a trans justice. Wouldn't it be terrific if we had a trans justice? Because actually, those robes that you wear are generally, I know that there was that frilly collar that the late Justice Ginsburg used to wear, but generally the judicial robes are non-binary, right? So that might be suitable. The idea, and it's interesting because I think the American people, if you say the American people, what do you think of the idea of a president limiting his appointment to one gender
people would say, no, that's a terrible thing. It should not be a decision that's made based on who you are in terms of some immutable characteristic. But if you then ask them, well, what do you think if the President of the United States says, I'm going to nominate a woman, and then I'm going to nominate a black woman, that, because it does sound like you're talking about the underdog, I think it would be much more acceptable. And the one thing that I need to remind my fellow Republicans is that the first presidential candidate to make a promise about the identity of a Supreme Court opponent, President Trump actually did something much more reasonable. He showed a list, and it got to be a long list with 20 names on it, and he promised that he would pick his Supreme Court appointments from that list, and he did. And he did. And that was a good thing to do, which Biden didn't do. But it was President Reagan who promised, when he was campaigning in 1980 against Jimmy Carter, that he would appoint the first female judge to the Supreme Court. And what was interesting about that was, at that time, there were so few judges in the federal appellate courts where you normally get a Supreme Court applicant, that he couldn't find anybody in the federal appellate court who was both female and conservative. So, looking for the kind of justice he wanted, he went down to a second-tier court, state court in Arizona, and found Sandra Day O'Connor. And she became the first female justice of the Supreme Court back in the early 80s. And again, so is this a repeat of that? May whoever President Biden selects prove as reasonable and distinguished as Justice O'Connor. In terms of injustice and bigotry, there's always the view. Listen to what the panel had to say about Justice Thomas. We will get to that and to more coming up on the Medved Show. And the question about Ukraine that is going on right now has to do with whether they are trying to influence and take over Ukraine or get a commitment from the United States. What commitment? That NATO won't be extended to include Ukraine. We will get to that and to more coming up on the Medved Show.
More of Michael Medved in a moment.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Texas Republican Governor Greg Abbott says President Biden does not care about drugs and human trafficking.
If he cared, he would step up and do something about it. But he does not care. about the carnage that he's causing to lives and communities across the entire country.
Abbott telling reporters the White House is letting fentanyl and illegal immigrants come into the United States through Mexico. Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer is retiring from the nation's highest court. While discussing his pending retirement, he spoke about the current state of America and addressed the next generation.
There was more than 330 million people, and my mother used to say it's every race, it's every religion, and she would emphasize this, and it's every point of view possible.
Breyer retiring at the end of the court session in June. USA Radio News.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. An increasing number of things are falling apart daily. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, and that includes food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take this moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. My Patriot Supply has earned over 47,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious food kits average 2,000 calories per day and last up to 25 years in storage, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a food kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for the news to tell you something bad happened again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Michael Medved Show. We're talking about what's going on in Washington, D.C., and a fight regarding the Supreme Court appointment that President Biden is going to make soon, by the end of February, he says. And, yeah, we're talking about the other potential fight where Vladimir Putin appears to have pushed pause while he considers what's going on in the United States, at least so he says. Their fight's close to home. And, of course, a lot of them have to do with housing, which is increasingly unaffordable in the state of Washington, and homelessness, which seems to be a plague that is almost as destructive, or maybe more destructive, ultimately, than the pandemic. So dealing with housing and housing issues is a huge deal, and it's certainly a focus of the Washington Policy Center. And from the Washington Policy Center, it's a pleasure to welcome to the show Mark Harmsworth, who is a former member of the Washington State House of Representatives, where he served two terms. He's also a community activist in Snohomish County, finished serving as director on the Everett Community College Foundation Board. He serves as a director on the Boys and Girls Club of Snohomish County and much more. He also works in the technology field. After completing a long career at Microsoft and Amazon. Mark, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me on, Michael. I really appreciate it.
Okay. The Democrats claim that House Bill 1904 is actually going to lower rents and protect people from constantly rising rents. It puts a cap of 3% on what you can actually
do as an increase in rents. Why is this actually going to backfire and increase rents for people living throughout Washington State?
Well, the issue with House Bill 1904, as you called out there, you know, it sort of caps things at 3%, is that the property owner has to give the tenant at least 180 days, preferably up to 220 days, notice that their rent is going to increase. And if it's going to go over 3%, the tenant then has the ability to go back to the property owner and say, hey, you know, I'm not interested in paying 3% at the end of my lease. In fact, I'm just going to walk away right now with no penalty because you've now imposed this on me. So you can imagine a situation where you're in a year's lease, you're 6 months into it, and the landlord comes back to you and says, hey, we're going to have to increase rents at the end here. My statutory requirement is 180 days. And you end up with all these people walking away from these leases. And what it's going to do is these landlords are not in this to lose money. Obviously, with inflation at 7% right now and increasing every day, they need to pay their bills at the end of the day. What they're going to start to do is go through their lease agreements and put in escalator clauses to avoid this piece of legislation, or they will just terminate the lease at 12 months and not offer an increase because it's cheaper for them to go. And in many cases, they have to, because they have to pay their bills, to get a new tenant. So the net effect is it's going to drive up cost because the property owners are not going to want to take the risk that they may lose somebody at 6 months. And so they're going to start those rents that much higher in the first place to avoid this situation.
I know there's a great deal of talk in Olympia and statewide about building affordable housing. Is there anything constructive that the legislature could do or the state government could do to actually keep housing affordable, to prevent the constant and punishing increase in rents that a lot of people feel?
Yeah, they can relax some of the construction restrictions that we've seen. Obviously, not passing bills like 1904 and the other bill that I think we're going to talk about today is 2017. These types of punitive bills against property owners are obviously being put in place by legislators that don't understand how the rental market works and how business works. So when they run these types of bills that force a business owner, because many property owners are business owners, they have one or two properties that they're trying to make some money on and supplement their income, you know, they're not going to lose money on that. So when they do these types of things, that's really bad. So don't do that. And then the other thing is to look at the Growth Management Act in Washington State, and this is a huge piece of legislation that's been in effect for many years, and look at the way that we're building things, because right now it's very difficult if you're in construction to build affordable housing because of all the restrictions and all the requirements that are put on you as a builder. They're considering, as another example, sprinkler systems for homes. Well, that's just going to drive up the cost of housing too. So on one hand, you've got the majority party in Olympia saying we want affordable housing, and on the other hand, they're passing a slew of bills that all they do is increase the cost of building a house. So the two don't match, and they have to be. You know, we should be getting this stuff off the backs of these builders so they can build us some more homes.
Well, what a novel thought. Speaking of a novel thought, what is the purpose, the advertised purpose of putting these restrictions on what you can advertise and how you would deal with, criminal tenants? It seems like what is a concern here is to make it easier for people with criminal records and criminal backgrounds to rent homes. Wouldn't you think that it would be appropriate for a landlord who's considering somebody for an apartment where there are a bunch of different applicants to consider somebody's violent criminal record if that's there?
Absolutely. And this particular bill that you're talking about, their House Bill 2017, is utterly preposterous in the way that they're proposing it. Imagine the situation where you've got maybe a single mom and some young children in a duplex, and a ex-sex offender comes along and wants to live in the next unit over, or you've got someone who's, you know, they've been convicted previously, they may have served their time, but you want to know what their background is, because then you can make the appropriate choices. And all they're doing here with this bill, again, is going to increase rents, because the housing owner
the property owner isn't going to want to take the risk of having somebody who they don't know, if they can't do the background check, is a person that has reformed themselves and is now contributing to society. That's great, but without being able to do the checks, they can never tell, and this forces the property owners into accepting tenants that, you know, could mess it up for everybody else in their little duplex or maybe the home that they're renting.
Well, it's one of those things where it's a $7,500 fine if you even ask about someone's criminal record.
Yeah, again, if you're a property owner, you're going to want to build that in case you get fine for doing something accidentally. The bill we talked about earlier has triple damages if you go into somebody after the 3% raise. All these things just add more and more cost to the property owner. And I've already spoken to a few folks since these bills hit the books in the last couple of weeks. There's people that were thinking about buying property to do investments for retirement. Now they're not going to do it because of all this regulation. So those properties are no longer on the market for rental. They'll be bought up by somebody as their home. So that made the problem even worse.
Again, it seems like the part of the aim appears to be just that, to get fewer people to act as landlords to build rental property. I mean, isn't that the long-term impact of bills like 2017 and 1904?
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly what will happen. There will be less property available for rent, demand and supply. Force the cost of that rental up. You'll start to see, I suspect, as you probably know, I'm from England originally, where the state used to run housing, and I suspect that might be the goal here of some of the affordable housing consortiums, is that they own the housing and can control that, because they want you to be dependent on the state for all things in life.
If you can hang on with us, Mark, I'm speaking with Mark Harmsworth of Washington Policy Center. There's information on our website at michaelmedved.com. I want to speak a little bit about the problem of homelessness and graffiti and the degradation of urban environments. Anything constructive that actually might come out of Olympia in this session of the legislature? We'll be right back.
The pain was very bad, and since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and I was having a hard time walking, and the pain was very bad. And since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and the pain has gone away. I really am walking pain-free. So I just want to recommend this to anyone who has severe pain or any type of pain. It is really a miracle product.
Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands, and certainly for me. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain, the whole world to gain. michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, or call 833-654-PAIN, Relief Factor. Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of Amfed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should, too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can, too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Youngevity for over 17 years, since before it was Youngevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Youngevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Youngevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Youngevity.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Medved Show, speaking with Mark Harmsworth, former representative in Olympia in the House of Representatives. He is now with the Washington Policy Center, working on issues of the economy and technology and business for the state of Washington. And Mark, we were talking before about the rental difficulties that exist not just in the city of Seattle, but in the whole region, and the problems of homelessness, which seem to exist everywhere. I understand we have good friends who live in the Green Lake area, that there's been a major cleanup of the campers and the literally hundreds of homeless folks who had occupied Green Lake, which is a profoundly beautiful and valuable city asset. And we have a new mayor in Seattle who pledges to take some action to make homeless encampments less of an occupying army situation. What constructively could be done or should be done or must be done on a state level to prevent these encampments from blooming again, blooming everywhere, and basically degrading the environment for the 3 million people who live in the greater Seattle area?
Yeah, I would look to the effort that Mayor John Nehring made up in the city of Marysville, which is about 40 miles north of Seattle, that was starting to see homelessness issues. And all what the city council and the mayor did there is that's a sort of a tough love approach to this, where they went to the folks that were homeless and gave them the ultimatum. They were going to give them some help to get themselves cleaned up and into some transitionary housing, or they were going to go to jail, but they weren't going to stay in their camp. And so they gave them some options. And for the folks that were looking to get out of that situation, because there are some people that like that lifestyle and they make these camps. But the folks that were trying to get out of that situation, he had significant success on getting the people off the streets and they cleaned things up. But we should not tolerate the types of camps that we're seeing, the types of things that we saw with CHOP and with Mayor Jenny Durkin's Summer of Love the last couple of years down on Capitol Hill. Those types of scenarios are just not acceptable. And if we enforce the law that's on the books and we treat the homelessness with the dignity that they need to be treated with to help them get into transitioning housing and get back to work and being productive, then I think that's a great way to do it. And at a state level, anything the state can do there to help with some of that transitionary funding down to the local level so they've got control of what's going on, that would be a big boon in the situation to try and stop reoccurring camps and solve the ones that we still have.
If I can ask you, and I know you're up in Snohomish County and you're very active in civic affairs and in the private sector in terms of making life better. One of my pet peeves, and people listen to this show know it because I talk about it, is that in Seattle it has changed so much for the worst in the last 10 years. In terms of graffiti everywhere. I remember when we moved here in 1996 from California. I remember bringing my wife up and she was just thrilled. You could go to downtown and not every surface was covered with graffiti. Is this underfunding for police departments? Do you think, or do people who concern themselves with this issue think about the reason for the explosion of this kind of vandalism and defacement, which, by the way, contributes to the crime rate if you follow the broken windows theory of crime. It sends out to people the idea that authority is completely broken down here. Why is this happening?
So there's a couple of reasons, I believe, for seeing this, particularly in our urban areas like Seattle. The pandemic hasn't helped. A lot of the cleanup on roadsides that would have removed a lot of that graffiti, and then, as you pointed out, that broken window, once you get rid of some of this, you don't see as much of it anymore, is because that's a volunteer force, and people have been reluctant to get out and volunteer to clean up on the sides of our roads and remove a lot of the garbage that you see, clean up some of the camp destruction that we've seen and some of this graffiti. And I think the other thing is on funding. Over the last 15, 20 years, WashDOT is responsible for a lot of the highways. Obviously, a local municipality is responsible for what's going on in their cities. The funding hasn't decreased, but it hasn't also significantly increased. And the same can be said of Oregon as well. They have very similar sort of size issues. So that's something that we need to go back and look at and maybe have a priority focus on it. Now we're out of this pandemic or on the tail end of it and really start working on that. The other thing is the cities need to enforce their ordinances and they need to clean this up and aggressively go after it and have pride in the community. And I believe that the new mayor that's in Seattle has made that part of his platform to try and clean these things up. So I'm hoping to see some good improvements there. We can get back to the Seattle of the old days. That would be my desire.
And well, in the old days, as I understand it, it used to be much more likely that the police would track down and apprehend some of the most prolific, quote, graffiti artists, particularly in very visible places like the I-5 corridor.
Yeah, and they need to be doing that now. It's because they've relaxed that rule, and you're seeing this in all sorts of areas. You know, a lot of the retailers are complaining that the crime's not being prosecuted for shoplifting. When we start letting the little things go, that's when you end up with this situation that we're in. We need to get back to, hey, if you're going to put graffiti on there, you're going to clean it up and you're going to pay the penalty for what you just did. If you're going to go shoplift, there needs to be a penalty for that. We can't just leave petty crime alone because that's what they turns into much larger crimes and creates the situation we're in. So Seattle PD, once the city council decides they want to do something about this, need to be down there enforcing these anti-graffiti laws.
Yeah, and you mentioned the shoplifting. I just read in the Seattle Times they have determined that the abandonment of downtown Seattle by Macy's, which had taken over from Bon Marché, historic building that everybody cherishes and loves. But the reason Macy's left was because of the failure to prosecute shoplifting. And they just had such appalling levels of losses that they couldn't make the store work any longer. That's the same kind of process that you're talking about, people going out of the real estate business and the shortage of real estate driving the prices up and up and up. other than the things that we've mentioned and avoiding the idiotic legislation that we began talking about, final thoughts on where to go from here?
You know, we've seen a lot go on in Seattle. I have business customers down in Seattle that are leaving because of the mess that's on the street, and that's really what it's about. I think that's where we need to start. It's small steps. It's let's get the streets cleaned up. Let's get the homeless off the street. Let's not leave needles on the street. If you've been down in Seattle anytime recently, it smells down there. It's bad. Clean that up, and then you'll start seeing businesses come back and retailers start picking up again, and then obviously enforce the base laws that need to be happened here. And at the state level, they can pass legislation to help these cities go after and prosecute some of the folks that are causing these crimes. And that's, we've just got to get on with this. This isn't a, ignore it. It's going to get it worse if we do that, so...
Well, I appreciate your sentiments. I appreciate your work, Mark Hemsworth, with the Washington Policy Center. And people can read about some of those constructive efforts that Mark Hemsworth has talked about. Go to our website. Look at the banner. It's a green banner, appropriately, for the Evergreen State, for the Washington Policy Center, which is operating not just in Seattle, but all across the state in the various urban areas. And coming up on the Medved show, there is more on both the crisis in Ukraine and claims that it's a wag the dog situation, that Biden and the forces behind him are deliberately evoking this crisis, which doesn't really matter to the United States. It's just a desire to build up Biden's approval rating. Really? Do you think is it doing that? Well, something is, and that something probably is the better economic news, and we got some of it today. We will talk about that, and we will also talk about naked racism and bigotry, actually, displayed on national network TV. Regarding race and the Supreme Court. Very much a topic of the moment. We will get to that and to much more, plus the revolutionary power of plant-based synthetic biology. We're not just talking about Beyond Burgers. It's more. For this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Have you heard about vine-to-bar chocolate? It's the winemaker's chocolate, the world's first chocolate made with well-vined Chardonnay marc from the beautiful coastal vineyards of North America. Gently pressed grapes are harvested after juicing, dried and finely milled, and carefully blended into the finest dark chocolate. The Chardonnay marc contains highly beneficial grape nutrients, flavanols, and has a natural sweetness that flavors the luscious dark chocolate. Mouthwatering, flavorful, delectable dark chocolate goodness with Chardonnay sweetness and beneficial nutrients. And it's alcohol-free, too. It's vine-to-bar chocolate. Order some today at vine-to-bar.com. That's vinetobar.com. Cold shipped to your door, it's vine-to-bar. Vine-to-bar chocolate. Visit us at vine-to-bar.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.